You're listening to Talk of the Nation, Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A brief program note. Join Neil Conan and his guests on Monday in this hour for the latest news about the war in Iraq. And for the rest of the hour today, an update on the investigation into the Columbia shuttle tragedy. If you remember, on February 1st, the spacecraft shuttle Columbia broke up over Texas as it made its way toward a Florida landing. All 7 crew members on board were killed, and debris from the shuttle scattered all over Texas, Louisiana, probably parts even further west. Investigations into the cause of the breakup have focused so far on the left wing of the shuttle. A videotape of the shuttle at liftoff shows a piece of foam hitting that wing, and there is speculation that the foam may have damaged the wing in some way. But there is also talk of another possibility that paint chips, paint primer, flaking off the launch tower may be a contributing factor. We're going to get this all put into order from NPR science correspondent Richard Harris, who joins us from our studios in Washington. Thanks for joining us, Richard.
My pleasure, Ira.
At what point, where are we now? It sort of has been out of the news, the investigation, but it has been going on, correct?
Absolutely. It is going on full tilt behind the scenes, hundreds and hundreds of people working. Last time I heard, still 7 days a week, long nights and long days. There's a lot of stuff to sort out here.
Is there one idea, you know, that's at the top of the list, or is it they're looking at everything equally?
Well, they've eliminated a few possibilities. They know that it's not the space shuttle's main engines that did something wrong, and they have a few peripheral things they've been able to get off their list, although nothing has been easy to take off the list because they've been going with great care through everything. But you mentioned the foam falling during liftoff, that I would say is still the prime candidate and is the focus of investigation. Investigators also want to make sure, though, that they aren't closing off other possibilities, so they aren't saying, this is it. In fact, they may never be able to say with certainty, this is it. They're going to end up with a probable cause, so they have to move really carefully.
Tell us about this paint primer flakes stuff. What's this news about?
Well, there are a number of ideas about what's going on, and the investigation board is particularly interested in trying to understand the ramifications of flying a spacecraft that was built more than 20 years ago and flying it rather occasionally for the space shuttles. And what does it mean to have an aging spacecraft flying in this kind of extreme environment? And one thing they're looking at are issues of age, and one thing is what could happen as a result of the shuttle sitting out on the launch pad for cumulative months and months and months over the course of its life. And one thing that they discovered was that one thing that happens to the spacecraft when it's sitting out there is that oxides of zinc that are a part of the primer, the undercoat of the paint on the launch pad structure, washes off in the rain and drips down. Now, it turns out that this stuff is pretty corrosive, particularly to the leading edge of the space shuttle wing, which is made out of a special carbon composite, somewhat like those graphite tennis rackets. It's a super hard, but it's a structure like that, but it's also chemically sensitive. And the idea is maybe the zinc oxide is eating little holes in it. Now, they inspect it carefully, and they do see little holes throughout all of these leading edge wings, but they're tiny, tiny little holes. And the question is, could these holes be growing inside somehow or other and creating more structural weakness than you'd expect? So remember the piece of foam that fell on the shuttle. It weighed about 2 pounds.
Right.
It was moving at 500 miles an hour, so it could still have very significant impact. But they're saying, so maybe the foam isn't the whole story. Maybe it's the foam hitting a structure that has been weakened.
Right.
And that may or may not turn out to be the case, but it's certainly one of the issues that they are looking at with great care.
And the fact that this shuttle is the oldest of the fleet would mean it had sat out in the rain longer than any other shuttle and might have more damage than any
Right.
Shuttle.
It's been out. I saw a statistic that said it has spent more than 2 years of its life sitting out on the launch pad. And, of course, it's Florida. It's right on the coast, so there's lots of salt air.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of it's a not entirely benign environment.
Mm-hmm. When the other shuttle tragedy occurred, one of the things that people were looking at and became the focus of the investigation and the conclusion toward the end was that there might have been a management problem. Are they looking at management decision-making problems here also?
Absolutely, and the investigation board is broken up into 4 groups, and 2 of them are looking quite seriously at those issues of, you know, global management structure as well as other more mundane items like, you know, looking back at all of the paperwork involved in the maintenance and the upgrades of the shuttle to see just basically going back to look at the history of this. So I think that we're going to see there's clearly going to be part of what went on here. Not that I think it's going to be a very different story from what we saw with Challenger, but it's a mindset that is gone on here that that may have contributed. Not that anyone was deliberately just crossing right. their fingers and saying, you know, let's just hope nothing happens, which essentially is what happened with Challenger. But the phenomenon that has been discussed at some length, and I think is very interesting, is the notion that people knew initially that they needed to be very worried about some things like debris hitting the space shuttle, and they knew that that was a significant risk. Well, they saw it on practically every flight now. They've seen debris hit the shuttle, and people are saying, oh, well, this is familiar to us. I guess it's not a risk, but no right. one has ever gone back to say whether that's a correct assumption. And so it's, you know, the idea of this familiarity. One of the phrases right. that we hear people from NASA say is that this is in family. In other words, it's within our normal range of experience, so it makes them relax. But it's looking as though there's some things that are in family that should still be alarming.
Right, and the fact that all the shuttles combined have flown, you know, 100-some-odd times is not a lot of data in a data set, you know, to see whether you should be happy with this in family stuff.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, 1-800-989-8255 is our number. Let's see if we can get a phone call or two in here from Jeff in Salt Lake. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, how's it going?
Hi.
Good. Hey, I got a question about that foam.
Okay.
We're told it falls because bacteria forms underneath it, right?
Not a theory I'm familiar with. No.
That's one of the things they said at the very first, and maybe that'll make this. Really dumb, but I was told it falls because moisture gets into the foam, causes bacteria, that makes the foam fall.
I'd seen that theory. I'll give you that. I'd seen that theory.
So if there's moisture in the foam, doesn't it make it heavier than 2 pounds, creating more force?
Yes, they know, though, that it's only 2 pounds because they have, not just because they know approximately what the dimensions are, but they have done some very extensive studies watching frame by frame how it fell. And from that, they were able to infer how heavy it must have been because they know what the forces are and they know what the air swirling patterns were and so on. So they figured whatever it was, it weighed 2 pounds. And they're guessing that it was 5 inches thick, but this question came up a week or two ago, and somebody said, well, you know, how do you know it's 5 inches thick? And they said, we don't. But if it has ice on it, then we'll say it's actually only 4 inches thick, but we still know it weighs 2 pounds. The other thing to mention is that this foam is does not take up water. You'd expect that you could imagine how hard it would be to get the space shuttle off the launch pad if it were essentially covered with a giant sponge. So they have gone to great efforts to make sure that the foam on the external tank, in fact, does not take up very much water. It takes up just a trivial amount. So, mm-hmm. But getting back to the beginning of your question, it is true that one of the concerns is something called cryopumping, which is if water gets behind the foam, that can sort of delaminate it from the external tank, the fuel tank. And so so they're looking very carefully at whether that process may have contributed to this piece of foam breaking off.
Thanks for calling, Jeff.
Hey, thanks. Have fun.
Bye-bye. Wasn't there a similar foam shedding that happened on Atlantis's tank last October?
Yes, there have been a number of foam shedding incidents. There have been a lot of little ones and a few big ones. They know of at least four, but they said... They pointed out recently that there are also a bunch of night launches, so you don't get video of mm-hmm. this stuff. So they just because they know about four fairly major incidents, there may actually be quite a few more than that. And part of this actually ties back to the fact that they had to change the composition of the foam because they were using a gas to create the foam that was bad for the atmosphere, chlorofluorocarbons or CFCs, which damage the ozone. So there's been a gradual transition to more benign gases to make the foam, and when they first switched to one of those gases, they found out that the foam wasn't behaving at all the way they expected.
Right,
so there have been some modifications, and they've worked through that, but that's also sort of a sidelight of the story as well.
The fact that they suspect there might be a problem in that leading edge of the left wing where the carbon-carbon is, have they been able to recover any of those parts of that wing and look at it?
They've recovered a lot of the parts of that wing, yeah, but they are, and that's sort of adding to the mystery because they are trying to figure out if a big piece fell off in orbit, or a substantial piece at any rate fell off in orbit on day two when they saw some debris floating around the space shuttle, moving away from the space shuttle. The question is, what piece was it and how vulnerable could it be? And one of the ideas was it's a piece right behind the leading edge of the wing called a carrier panel, which is a piece of metal that sort of rides back behind the leading edge of the wing, and they had thought for quite a while that this the material that fell off looked a lot like carrier panel, but it's not quite adding up with the debris on the ground. They aren't really sure because they found a lot of carrier panel, but they haven't found all of it. So I mean, this is the kind of an example of how the investigation goes forward. You've got the guys on the ground who are looking at the debris that's there and trying to make sense of that. They're the people who are looking at the temperature measurements from on board the shuttle to see how the temperature flowed and where the hot spots started. And then there are the guys who are looking at the debris that fell off the shuttle on day two, and they're doing some extensive, that was seen with radar, so they're trying to look at radar on the ground and say, okay, how can we replicate this? What kind of material could we use on the ground and beam radar at it that would give us the same sort of radar signature, they call it sort of a radar fingerprint. So all of these pieces are coming together, and they aren't quite yet adding up, but it's, you know, but we're seeing a story starting to gel, but it's still, you know, they're going to be little twists and retracing of footsteps and so on. And it's as people from one area, you know, try to make sense of their data as they look at other areas as well. Yeah.
Talking with Richard Harris this hour on Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Ira Flato. We're talking about the ongoing investigation into the shuttle disaster. Do you think they're going to fly a shuttle? Did they say that they'll fly another one before they absolutely positively diagnose what went wrong with this one?
Well, I guess the key is, will they ever absolutely positively?
All right, take that down a notch. Will they?
They will. But I think that there's a good expectation that they will find a probable cause of the accident, which is sounds less satisfying than absolutely knowing what went on. But on the other hand, you have to remember that in aircraft accidents, they often just satisfied with saying, okay, this is the probable cause, and there's usually pretty good reasoning behind it, and enough of an idea of what went on to make some changes and to move forward. So absolutely, NASA intends to do this, and President Bush has said that he intends to continue with the manned space program. I guess the big question mark is how expensive it's all going to be, because we don't know exactly what the Columbia Accident Investigation Board is going to tell NASA it needs to do. Right. The board itself hasn't figured that out, but they have raised the prospect of what they're going to suggest could be extremely expensive. And if it's very expensive, then it becomes a question of a budget, and is the shuttle going to fly at any cost? I don't know. But the Columbia Accident Investigation Board is not going to say, you know, what's the cheapest thing we can do to get it back in the air. They're going to say, this is what we think needs to be done to correct the problem. So
have they got a target date for coming back with a report or a recommendation?
They are hoping to put stuff together over the in the early summertime, in June or so, starting in May. But it really depends on how well the information falls together. And they're going to take as long as it takes. Their original charter said you have 60 days to investigate the accident. Well, of course, 60 days has come and gone, and this is still going forward. So they are very diligent people, and they're just going to keep plowing ahead until they're satisfied.
And we still have astronauts up in the International Space Station?
Indeed, we do, and no shuttles to get them there.
And we're relying on the Russians. And
indeed, yes, we have the Russian spacecraft will retrieve them in a couple of weeks and bring up a new crew, replacing a 3-member crew with a 2-member crew, because it turns out that it's resupply is a real issue. If you can't get the space shuttle up there, you can't bring up all the provisions you need to support a full human presence up there. So they're going to try to do it with a 2-member crew up there in order to stretch the provisions they have.
All right, Richard Harris, terrific as always. Thanks for joining us this hour.
My pleasure, Ira. Good to talk to you.
Richard Harris is science correspondent for NPR, and he has been covering the shuttle very well for us, and we thank him for joining us. Earlier, we spoke with Peter Walsh, visiting research fellow at Princeton University, and Edward Walsh, professor of medicine and pediatrics at Rochester University School of Medicine. No relationship, as far as we know. Kevin Wade is our technical director. Our audio engineers are Matt Galick and Paul Masiello in New York. Greg Smith composed our theme music. And we had help today from NPR librarians Kim Oleski and Alphonse Venn. If you have comments or questions, write to us. Surf over to our website at sciencefriday.com, because we also have our audio archives there and real audio. And also, you can download the back editions of Science Friday on your Audible player. Also, Science Friday Kids Connection there has a curricula, free curricula for teachers and students based on the program we do here in Science Friday. I'm Ira Flato. Have a great week. We'll see you next weekend.